Hi, I'm Jules Benfell.
Hi, I'm Davinia Shea-Sicker.
I'm Christian Gonzalez.
And I'm Olive Woodsmall.
And today we're going to be talking about health disparities, Black female identity, the healthcare system, and Black feminism in America.
Just before we start, we want to acknowledge that none of us identify as Black and that we do not have this lived experience. However, Black women's lived reality is often overshadowed and ignored. And as the Combahee River Collective states, the destruction of all systems of oppression and all our freedom is directly tied to the freedom of Black women.
Health disparity in America is a product of centuries of racism. The American government, backed by wealthy white investors, have systematically oppressed minorities within healthcare. This racialized oppression particularly affects Black women, who are subjected to forced sterilization and poor pre- and postnatal care. Black women are exploited and robbed of their autonomy to make decisions about their bodies and health. With the rise in the likes of pollution and the onset of global warming, resulting health complications are likely to disproportionately fall on Black and Indigenous communities, which leads us to wonder how they would be treated in a healthcare system that is already based on their exclusion.
Speaking of healthcare, most women, female adjacent people, and people with uteruses are likely to visit a gynecologist at least once in their lives. It is a vital part of healthcare for us. However, when I think about gynecology and obstetrics, particularly where Black women are concerned in the way they are treated, my mind immediately wanders back to the very inception of this field and how it has been built on the exploitation of the bodies of Black women. In fact, the very first women's hospital in the US was honestly a farm in Alabama. The father of American gynecology, Dr. James Marion Sims, developed the field by performing unmedicated surgeries and procedures on the enslaved Black women on this farm.
Wow, that's horrible.
Yeah. However, the medical world is quick to look past his status as a slave owner and his blatant human rights abuses, choosing instead to spotlight his quote-unquote contributions to the field. I want to reiterate the severity of the abuse that these enslaved Black women had to go through for these contributions. They were treated as objects, these procedures were done without their consent, and they were not administered any sort of painkillers or anesthetics, and on top of all of that, they would step out of that operating room and continue to be subjected to the forced labor that enslaved people had to endure. These women were also forced to take on the role of surgical assistants. To quote directly from my source by Dr. Cooper Owens, "For pioneering gynecological surgeons, Black women remained flesh and blood contradictions, vital to their research, yet disposable once their bodies and labor were no longer required."
Now knowing the history of OBGYN, it doesn't come as a surprise how drastically high the maternal mortality rate is for Black women and Black birthing people.
Exactly. A medical literature review done by Dr. Elizabeth Howell states that Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die from complications related to pregnancy. To quote from Howell's work directly, Black women have had the fastest rate of increase in maternal death between 2007 and 2014, and have maternal death rates up to 12 times higher in some cities than white women. And to make you even angrier, another study focusing on Massachusetts showed that 24% of these pregnancy-associated deaths among Black birthing people between 2000 and 2007 in Massachusetts was determined to be preventable.
Exactly, Gabby. And now seems like the perfect time to interject with some of the research that I have found about prenatal and postnatal care. For years, Black women have not received the help with maternal and fetal health care that they need, including prenatal and postnatal care. In one report by Kogan in the 1980s, they asked several Black and white women a series of questions. One question they asked was whether or not these women had received advice about maternal and infant health. A majority of the Black women said that they had received little to no guidance about this. Many of them had reported that they did not know that the consumption of alcohol and drugs should be halted along with smoking during pregnancy. The percentages of women who knew how to take care of themselves and their infant during this time was higher in white women than Black women because they were able to seek more help throughout their pregnancy. It is harder for Black women to receive this advice and help from professionals, which relates to the fact that Black women get paid much less than others. This makes it much harder for them to care for their families, let alone themselves. Along with this, many women in general experience postpartum after they give birth, but it is a lot more difficult for Black women to receive the care and information they need for this time in their lives. Black women need to have easier access to quality health care and reliable information. Jules, do you have any idea of how this might directly stem from how Black bodies are regarded within the likes of medical school textbooks and by medical professionals themselves?
Yeah, so throughout history, the standard or the normal body has always been white, male, and cisgendered. This remains true through medical history and medical education history. In peer-reviewed and published Flippin' Medicine, Reflection and Action in Medical Education, Augustana student Allison Lawrence explains, despite the differences being well-researched, medical texts still discuss heart attacks from the perspective of patients assigned male at birth. The general discussion of symptoms usually includes no mention of sex differences, leading the reader to believe these symptoms apply to all groups of people. Sometimes these differences are left out of medical text altogether. We can relate this back to health classes we may have taken ourselves in high school. During CPR practice, the dummies we use are mostly, if not always, lighter skinned and do not have breasts. Due to this, bodies like the Black female body are othered and are different from what medical students are used to, which is not right. On top of this complete lack of representation, stereotypes plague this healthcare industry and continue to make it harder for Black women and other women of color to receive good healthcare. In the case study Performing Black Womanhood, a qualitative study of stereotypes and the healthcare encounter by Tina Sachs, real stories of Black women tell us what we need to know about these stereotypes. Participants of the study reported being treated rudely when not wearing professional-looking attire or not articulating their words, etc. These issues may seem small, but contribute to the larger scale of racism that Black women face in medical care. Larger issues, such as forced sterilization upon women, stem from stereotypes such as these. In the movie No Mas Bebes, Latina women speak on sterilizations that were forced upon them in the 1960s and 1970s. Due to the stereotypes surrounding Latina women, such as having large families they cannot take care of or being inferior due to them not completely being completely fluent in English, doctors felt that they had the right to perform surgery on a body that does not belong to them. This is the reality for women of color and the racism within our healthcare system. Christian, what has your research shown about Indigenous women and the environment, and how does this relate back to Black feminism and healthcare?
So I was really interested actually to see the struggle of Indigenous women in America and how that really relates to Black feminism today. So I stumbled upon this book called Radical Reproductive Justice, and where I found a passage titled Beyond the Trees, Stories and Strategies of Environmental and Reproductive Justice by Laura Jimenez and a few other authors. This piece covered a broad array of issues, including post-colonial theory, imprisonment as a form of slavery, and especially pollution of the Black Indigenous people of color body. This was incredibly interesting in that the authors fragmented the idea of environmental justice to properly contextualize how colonialism never ended, because our government continues to use these communities as a scapegoat for the environmental issues we see today. An excellent quote I found, which highlights this modern disparity at the end of page 371, "Think about our bodies as environments. It is all of our political, physical, spiritual, and emotional environments." I believe this ties in well with their overarching message that poor Indigenous and Black women who are that way because of colonialism have little control over what enters their environment and suffer multi-generational traumas as a result. This trauma assumes the form of forced sterilization, crippling fear, and dependency on the state or government. With all of this in mind, it's clear to see how our society is blaming people of color and Chinese and people with disabilities and queer folk for being unsustainable, when the root of it is that capitalism and imperialism are unsustainable. Jimenez 371. Though there is a lot of ground to cover in the story of how Indigenous people were stripped of their environmental rights and how that relates to Black feminism, of course, I think it's most important to recognize how the commodification or dehumanization of these communities is an ongoing crisis, which opens the floodgates for multifaceted environmental pollution. This still happens because BIPOC are viewed as disposable compared to the white body. This ideal alone is founded in systematic racism that ultimately cripples the reproductive freedom and environmental health of these communities. This research has made it horribly apparent that Black and Indigenous women have both systematically experienced healthcare oppression.
It has been incredibly challenging to narrow down what to talk about, as Black women and other people of color are treated so terribly within the healthcare system. The American healthcare system, as we know it, has been founded on the exploitation of Black bodies, Black female bodies, and is also systemically made up in ways that exclude Black patients and other patients of color from treatment. To all our listeners, we encourage you to go forward with this information and do your own research. There are so many wonderful resources out there. It's important to center the voices and experiences of Black women and other people of color as we move forward, because these systems are made in ways that systemically exclude people of color and Black women out of the fold. It has been amazing to have this conversation with you guys. Thank you, team.
Thank you, listeners.
Yeah, and thank you, all listeners. And we hope this was educational, and we hope that going forward you do your own research and continue to advocate for marginalized people.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.